ABC Hobart.
Morning, it's 11 past 7 on 936 ABC Hobart, heading for a high of 13 degrees today. Currently 5 in the city, feels like 3. And if you've got snow on your property, well, roll up a ball and chuck it my way. I'd like to hear from you today. It's International Geek Day in Australia, and I'm asking you, who do you think is Australia's geekiest geek? And I suspect one of them may well be in the studio. We've had some pretty good suggestions this morning. Shannon Lush, because she's a clean geek. Tim Franklin, because he's a geeky geek. And Annie's suggestion, Tony Abbott, because he's so geekily into opposition and fitness. But really, being a geek is just about having so much passion, you don't care what anybody thinks. And Rob Pennicott, who you've been hearing about in the news, he's just an ordinary bloke, dropped out of school early to start running his own fishing business, got a bit jack of that, decided to run a tourism business, which has become one of Tasmania's most successful. And you'd think that someone might rest on their laurels, but no, he has decided to make two blow-up boats and sail them anti-clockwise around Australia in order to raise money to eradicate polio from the face of the earth. It's a pretty impressive attempt that he's taking. And in order to do it, he's creating opportunities for you to go on the journey with him or just give 10 bucks and help polio leave the face of the world. Rob Pennicott joins you this morning. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, Greg.
Great to have you here. And you're also joined by Carolyn Farquhar, who's the district polio spokesperson from Rotary, who've been working at this for some time. Good morning, Caroline.
How are you doing, Rick?
I'm very well, thank you. And I'm especially pleased to have in the studio with me this morning Rebecca Round, who is 81 years old now and contracted polio in November 1937 as a 7-year-old. Good morning, Rebecca.
Good morning, Rick.
Now, for people who don't know about polio, Rebecca, how do you catch the disease?
It's contracted orally. It's carried in human faeces and contracted orally. Probably how I contracted it was that we lived on a small farm at Railton, and we quite commonly walked across about a couple of k's to the railway line to gather watercress in the early summer to make salads and things like that. Now, the railway lines, of course, we lived in a right angle. The one line went to Sheffield, the other was the main line going down the northwest coast. And, of course, the toilets on railways then was just a straight drop through. And we would undoubtedly have eaten some of the watercress coming home. And that is most probably how I contracted polio. But it is it's carried in human faeces. It's contracted orally.
And what effects did it have on you?
I wasn't well for a week or so. And then Mother called the doctor. He asked me to sit up and put my head down to my knees, and that was impossible. And so he diagnosed polio and sent me off to hospital. I was paralysed, mainly down the left side. And I went to the Devon Hospital at La Trobe at first in November 1937. And immediately after Christmas, I was taken to Launceston by ambulance. Actually, the next day they came to fumigate the house and to put a quarantine notice on it, because when you had polio, the houses were quarantined for, I think it was 3 weeks. And one of my sisters wasn't well. She was 5 years older than I was, and she went to hospital with polio too. So we went to hospital immediately, to Launceston, immediately after Christmas by ambulance, and came home in 1940.
So how long were you in hospital for?
3 years.
3 years. What was it like in the hospital?
You eventually got used to it. It was, we were both in Thomas splints, which meant that your feet were about 6 inches apart, and you had a metal flange at the bottom and a metal plate at the bottom and a flange around your feet to stop them from going from side to side. You were strapped at the ankles, the knees, at the hips. Your arms were out at right angles from your shoulders, and mine were only strapped to the elbow. My arms were not actually paralysed. And then you had a round canvas pad under your head with pegs, I guess they would have been a couple of inches high, to stop your head from wobbling from side to side. A lot of us were like that. A great many of us were like that. And
How many people were you sharing a ward with?
I don't really know, but the main bulk of polio patients were in Launceston. There would have been hundreds of people in Launceston Hospital. When we first went there, there were not enough room. There was not enough room in the wards for all the patients, and the young children, and I was included in that, were put out on a balcony, and they dropped the awnings down at night, and so there was this long, long row of children in beds on a balcony. I remember it particularly because the food was appalling.
As all hospital food should be.
Well, it was worse than this. It was mince one day and tripe the next. I don't eat tripe. Oh, and we had the best fed seagulls in Launceston because we threw the tripe over the balcony.
You're listening to Rebecca Round, who contracted polio in 1937. And when you're imagining all of that strapping in the boards, this is a seven-year-old girl that you're picturing with the children there. How prevalent, how many people had polio in Tasmania in 1937?
1,006.
That's extraordinary.
1,006 in a population of 240,000.
So I think that rates it as the second worst.
It was the second worst epidemic ever recorded per capita anywhere in the world.
How did your mum cope? You're one of eight children. Two of you were in hospital. How did she, was she able to visit you?
Mother visited us every Sunday. Visiting hours were only on a Sunday. And at La Trobe, of course, we were in isolation, and she came and looked at us through the windows of the hospital. But when we went to Launceston, we were out of isolation. She came every Sunday. Routon's a fair way from Launceston, as you know. It was actually 56 miles, which is 80-odd kilometres from the farm where we lived. And Mother rode a push bike every Sunday there, and she rode back every Sunday. She milked before she went. She still had four other children because my twin sister and I were the youngest in a family of eight children.
It must have been such a torment for her, and not to say as well a torment for you. What did polio leave you with? How much did you recover, and what have you had to cope with?
I'll correct you for a moment. It wasn't a torment for Mother. She was our mother and she came to see us. And that was exactly our attitude then. Now we know it was a remarkable thing to do. But at the time, it was Mother and she came to see us. polio has left me. I've gradually developed a club foot on my left foot. I wear a short caliper on my left leg. I didn't wear it for years. I did when we first came home. Mother and Father didn't want us to go into aftercare in Launceston. After all, I should think after riding that far every Sunday for 3 years, she thought it was about time we came home. And she massaged us and nursed us back and got us back walking. And it always left me with a slightly weaker left leg. I didn't play sport or anything like that at school. I was fairly well protected in primary school because I had a twin sister and a cousin who was only 4 months older, and they were the people who sort of stood up for me all the time. And at high school, it didn't worry me really. I didn't play sport. There were times when people were slightly mean-minded, but we get that all over the world and you learn to live with it.
Yeah, kids will certainly find whatever they can to pick on other children now. Now, polio has been largely eradicated from Tasmania as we understand it. Do you think that we've maybe lost our momentum with wanting to make sure people are vaccinated elsewhere in the world?
I think we've lost our momentum too in wanting to know that people are vaccinated elsewhere in the world, but also in the fact that we still must vaccinate people in Australia. A young man came back from going to Mecca, I think it was either last year or the year before, and he'd contracted polio there, and he came back to Melbourne. Polio isn't eradicated from any country, really, unless we immunise. You've got to keep the level of immunisation up to be sure that you're not going to have another case of polio.
Well, this is probably a good opportunity to bring Carolyn into the conversation. Carolyn, have you heard many stories like Rebecca's?
Unfortunately, I have heard a lot of these sort of stories, Rick, and every time I've heard Rebecca several times now, and it never ceases to have me on the edge of my seat, shaking my head, going, oh my God, this is why we get up every day and work so hard to eradicate this disease off the planet. As Rebecca said, I mean, one of the catch cries that we talk about is that polio is only a plane ride away. So until every child on the planet is immunised, then, you know, we none of us are safe. And we don't want any more stories like Rebecca's happening in Tasmania or any other part of the world for that matter.
Well, we'll hear more from you, Carolyn, about Rotary's role in eradicating polio and some of the extraordinary partners that you have in doing that. It's 20 past 7 on 936 ABC Hobart. This morning, you can eradicate polio. That's what's happening on the show at 22 past 7. You're with Rebecca Round, polio survivor, who turns 81 in 2 weeks, Carolyn Farquhar from Rotary International, and Rob Pennicott, who you will have heard on the news this morning, is about to sail anti-clockwise around Australia in 2 yellow boats with a campaign called Follow the Yellow Boat Road. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Rick.
Good morning.
G'day, Rick.
G'day. Now, Carolyn, Rotary have been working for a wee while to eradicate polio. Can you tell us what you've been doing?
Well, in globally, since 1985, Rotary have been working on it. In 1988, Rotary decided to come up with a polio plus vaccine. And the plus part of the vaccine was that they decided very cleverly to add vitamin A to the vaccine, and that meant that it wasn't just helping to eradicate polio, but it was also helping to boost children's immune systems all over the world. And that was helping to stop things like blindness and infections and measles, malaria, that sort of stuff. So Rotary hasn't just raised the money. I mean, that's obviously a huge chunk of it, but not only that, but we've provided volunteers on the ground all over the world as well. So people any Rotarian throughout the world has had the opportunity to go on polio vaccination trips and days, and in some cases they've travelled for 2 or 3 days to actually get to a small village that might have 5 or 6 kids in it that need to be vaccinated. And that's a pretty cool story when you know that they've gone in crappy little buses that have hardly got over, you know, mountain tracks and all that sort of stuff to arrive in these little villages. And some of them have even had to, you know, go on boats and go to little islands to make sure that every child in that country has been vaccinated.
How does it feel to be part of something so big?
Oh, awesome. You know, I was saying to Rob earlier, I mean, what other sort of organisation can you join as a single, you know, individual and have such an incredible worldwide impact? I mean, in my lifetime, polio will be eradicated. No child on the planet, once this is eradicated, no child on the planet will ever need to have a polio vaccination. And that's a pretty cool thing to be able to say out loud.
Because that's something special about the disease, is that it's only transmitted, I think, from person to person. Is that right? So possible if you can get everyone well all at the same time. Then it's pretty much done. Rebecca, I'll just say something there, Rick.
So the thing with polio is that there is no cure, right? So the only hope we've got is prevention, and that's where this vaccination comes in. We've got to prevent this disease from spreading and get it off the planet. We can't do anything about it once it's actually here.
Rebecca, as a 7-year-old, you spent 3 years in hospital recovering from the disease, as much as that's possible. How do you feel when you hear the idea that no child might ever have to go through what you went through?
I think it's probably one of the most important programs that you could possibly be involved with. Some people cope very well with the after effects of polio. Some people didn't cope well at all. It killed quite a few people were killed here in Tasmania. If it went to the heart or the brain, then it was almost always fatal. You never knew just where the virus was going, when it mutated, what part of the body it was going to attack. And so it's very important. It can kill. It can also leave you very debilitated for the rest of your life. I'm fortunate. I managed to get around, but I still have problems from polio. So it's very important that you do that.
Rob, why have you chosen polio as the cause for your fundraising efforts?
Well, Rick, I think it's because it's something that can be snapped out, and we're so close to eradicating it, and we're an individual $10 donation can go towards the $39 million that's required to get the $200 million that's required by Rotary. That will then mean that Bill Gates gives $355 million, and the $555 million is enough to eradicate polio from the world. And we're just one little step away for what's been worked on for so long.
So basically, in a way, this big bet has been played out. Is that right, Carolyn? Bill Gates and Warren Buffett said, we'll give you $355 million if you can get $200.
That's correct. The Gates Foundation said that. And it was, and the thing I like about it was that he didn't just say, here's $350 million. He said, you guys are a bunch of workers and you've got the ability to be able to use your skills out there to raise more funds. So we're not just going to hand over the whole amount. You guys have got to work for it. So we're very, very close. We haven't got much to go.
I mean, you know, when people fundraise for the church spire or something, they have one of those little thermometers outside that goes up. I reckon this one would go all the way to the moon. So Rotary's already raised, you know, the lion's share of the money. There's just $39 million to get to the end. Rob Pennicott, how are you going to get $39 million?
Okay, well, we're going to really appeal to the world, Australia especially, and there's a few different ways. Basically, by going around Australia in a dinghy, it sort of brings a focus on a way of doing it, and I'll be speaking five nights a week as I go around. We'll be fundraising at those events. Also, I'll be auctioning one or two seats per boat to the highest bidder online for any leg that I do under 200 miles. Also, there'll be a global competition where anyone who donates $10 or more will actually go into a competition to be flown anywhere in the world, back to Sydney to do Ulla Dulla to Sydney on the final leg with a partner on board my boat, and also a week's holiday in Tasmania. And they're the main ways that we'll be doing it.
It's an incredible platform that you've created, and we'll talk more about the details of it. And I am sure that you'll have nearly 81 Rebecca Round on that boat if she can possibly get there. Is that right, Rebecca?
Probably. I set up the committee that built the Lady Nelson, and I've sailed right round the state as crew on her.
I reckon Rebecca would even do it with flippers if she didn't get on the boat.
I think she might be able to give you some navigation tips, Rob. It's 7:30 on 936 ABC Hobart. People's alarms will be going off for the headlines, so let's get them now with Peter Hughes. Peter, good morning and happy birthday.
Oh, many thanks, Rick. Thanks very much indeed. Very kind.
You're with Rick Goddard on 936 ABC Hobart, and you can eradicate polio today. This morning, you can be part of it. And you're in the studio with three people who are very passionate about it. Rebecca Round, polio survivor. Good morning, Rebecca.
Good morning, Rick.
And Rebecca had polio in 1937 as a seven-year-old, was in hospital for 3 years. An extraordinary story. You're also joined by Carolyn Farquhar from Rotary International.
How you doing, Rick? I'm still here.
Good. And a lot of people's alarms will have just gone off, so we need to meet you all again.
Oh, okay.
That's why it's so important. And Rotary have been working to raise $200 million, which means if they get $200 million, Bill Gates will give them $355 million, and that is enough to eradicate polio from the face of the earth. Now, the momentum has slowed a little bit, and so in steps Rob Pennicott. And Rob wants to raise that last $39 million by sailing anti-clockwise around Australia in two 5.4-metre dinghies. I don't think they're being rowed. I'm pretty confident that they've got motors on them. And you can support him. You can even travel with him. And Rob, you're a very successful businessman. Why aren't you sitting back, enjoying it, letting a general manager run your business and playing golf?
Well, from my heart, I reckon I'm on this earth to do better things for the world, and I'm definitely dedicating my life, obviously, to earn enough money to get through to the next year, and also the plans I've got and for my wonderful staff. But on top of that, our family, I don't think, are greedy, and I've got a weird skill that might send me bankrupt in 5 or 10 years' time. But while I've been in business, I've always donated 25% of my net profits to donation, charity and conservation. And I've come up with this idea. I could never earn enough money to give away, so I've come up with an idea that gives away a lot of money before I actually earn it.
That seems like a very sensible idea. Now, how many other organisations have got behind this? The campaign's called Follow the Yellow Boat Road, Yeah. And the idea is that people can give money to help eradicate polio either by bidding for a place on the boat online, giving 10 bucks online, or donating more money if they want to. Who else has come on board to support you?
Okay, look, we National Geographic have big time. They've given us a database of, it's now, I told you last time I talked to you, about 50.5 million people. It's now up to 60 million people on Facebook. We also have obviously Rotary International, a huge partner, the driving force of this as well. We've got Telstra aboard. We've got Tourism Australia, Tourism Tasmania. And then we go from there to a lot of smaller sponsors that might do, like Stormy locally, who are giving us our wet weather gear, the boat manufacturers, the motor manufacturers, and the list is a mile long now. And we're just after those $4 million $10 donations. We're not asking anyone for $100 or $1,000, although that would be nice. We're really after just the cost of a beer in a pub or half a counter tea for one person to actually make the difference. One $10 donation will make Bill Gates fork out $355 million from his foundation.
Really, it's worth paying 10 bucks just to see that happen, isn't it? And I mean, it's fascinating with the internet now, because you can do a campaign like this because you're only sailing around, well, I say only, you're sailing around Australia, but the whole world will be able to follow you, particularly through this connection, through National Geographic, through Facebook. What are we going to see online? How can we come on the journey with you online?
Okay, wonderful. Well, actually, it's quite easy, the navigation side. You were asking that earlier on. You just leave Sydney and keep land on the left-hand side and you should get around Australia if it's not a foggy day. But the way to do it is follow the yellowboatroad.com is a website that we've launched today. We've got only on that one this morning, it was 28 Facebook friends. I'm expecting that to absolutely explode. On that is the main donation platform. But then if you go into National Geographic, a lot of other sites, they'll be doing our travel blog with updates. ABC Online is going to have it as well on their website. But the main website to follow is ours of followtheyellowboatroad.com.
And you can get on there, and you've got a Facebook page as well where people can friend you?
Yes, best to still stick to followtheyellowboatroad.com and join our Facebook on there. We've got a page about the legs, and it shows you what bidding price is on each leg at this stage. At this stage, they're pretty well all zero, I think, only because it's been launched today, but we're expecting that to sort of go up. And obviously, that there's a place on there too. I urge you to press this button now, and that is where you go to actually donate online.
Okay, 30 friends so far. So 936 listeners, let's at least double that before 7:45 a.m. It's 6 minutes. There's enough time to do that, and I want to see that happen, absolutely. So get on there right now and friend the page and start spreading it around and tweeting it. Rob, how many people are supporting this journey? How many staff do you have? Who's going to be on the boat?
Okay, look, I've got 60 wonderful staff. The other boat is skippered by my operations manager, a wonderful, very jokey character called Mick Suter. And he's going to skipper the other boat, and then each boat takes a maximum of 6 people. It might be a little bit like a sardine can. The boats are coming across the Nullarbor at the moment on trailers without wheels. Work that one out. And they will arrive in Sydney on Thursday. My 60 staff have been invited, and obviously my family will be along us for certain legs of the journey. And on legs that we can fit staff on, we'll definitely use it as an exercise for my staff to enjoy. But also every one of those that is holding the fort while I'm gone is doing probably more than I'm doing on the boat to keep the goose that actually can enable me to do this are going while I'm away.
Okay, we're up to 34 people on Facebook now. I've just joined. 36 now, so it hasn't frozen, which is excellent. Now, Rebecca and Caroline.
That's a good test, actually. I think last night I was up very late, and Andrew Hennessy, my IT manager, was up very late, and we laughed at about 1 o'clock going, I just hope everything keeps going like it should. And he's very confident, but I know he'd be listening to this, and he'll be sweating for the first week or two for sure.
Your IT guy. Now, when do you leave on the journey?
I leave on, I fly out of Tasmania on Sunday. I arrive then obviously in Sydney, and I leave at 7 o'clock on Tuesday morning from Darling Harbour in Sydney.
Okay, and we can get onto www.followtheyellowboatroad.com.
That's it, Rick.
Fantastic. Rob, wish you the best on your journey. We're going to be following you all the way. Rebecca, how many family members have you got to bid to get you on that boat?
Actually, I have no direct family members at all. I was married, of course, but my son was killed in a motor vehicle accident 30 years ago when he was 28. But I have a lot of extended family members, yes. So
all right, well,
maybe they will bid.
And alternately, you might want to get on and bid for a place for Rebecca on her behalf. Your story has been so inspiring this morning, Rebecca. And get Rebecca a seat on the boat. Get in contact with us at the ABC on 1300 222 936. I'd like to see someone do that. Now, how many people have we got on the page? Now, 39 friends now. I think it probably will get doubled by 1:45. Caroline Farquhar, thanks for joining us this morning.
It's my absolute pleasure, Rick. Thank you for having me.
And Rebecca, thank you for sharing your story today.
Thank you, and I hope we find the wizard at the end of the yellow boat road.
I'm sure we will. I'm not uncertain if it's not Rob Pennicott. And Rob, you might well be Australia's geekiest Australian for taking this on and doing it. It's a completely mad vision. It's so mad. I'm sure you'll succeed, and we'll be keep following you here on Breakfast.
It'll be a pleasure to be called a geek if I get over the line. And Rick, just one quick one, that 10 million kids over the world would be paralysed in the next 40 years if we don't eliminate polio now. So just, you know, if it isn't eliminated in the short term, it will do that.
And you can do that with just $10. We're going to leave you today with I Say a Little Prayer to send you on your journey, from sung by Dionne Warwick. It's held David's 90th birthday today on 936 ABC Hobart, and it's nearly 7:45. Rob and Rebecca and Caroline, thanks so much.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Rick.
42 friends, we're nearly there, everybody. You've got a minute and a half.